I'd like to come back to our daily life. We have this wonderful prospect to be with the Lord. At the moment, we are still here on earth. And we have read in Hebrews 13, and I would like to speak on this just for a few minutes. Let brotherly love abide. Love will be unhindered once we are with the Lord. We will enjoy and we will behold the love, how the Father loves the Son, how the Son loves the Father. And we are sort of part of that love. We are included in it. And there is nothing which will hinder that love. But these things are written so that we think about how can we practice this in our daily life. I'm glad that it says, let brotherly love continue. And I'm glad that I know some of you and I know you practice love. It's not so that I now have to all kick you and says, listen, do something. How shall we do that? And, you know, how can we? No, it says continue. With other words, it assumes that you are already practicing. But you all agree, it would be even much nicer if we really and fully practice these things. Because many problems which we have, either in our families or in the local meetings, is really coming back to a lack of loving one another. And therefore, I would like to give you a small example here. We mentioned it very briefly today, and I would like just to give a few comments on this very short passage of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Thou knowest this, that all who are in Asia, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes, have turned away from me. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he has often refreshed me and has not been ashamed of my chain. But being in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord in that day, and how much service he rendered in Ephesus, thou knowest best. We know that 2 Timothy is the last epistle of the Apostle Paul. We find that here in chapter 4 he speaks about his end, that he was the one who was finishing the race and one who really could look back. And why is this small portion in this epistle? I think it is for our encouragement. And I would just like to point out a few characteristics of this service of Onesiphorus towards the Apostle Paul. What characterized this man? And I would say three things. First of all, it is love. Let brotherly love continue. This brother, he knew Paul. Paul was in Ephesus, and not only just a few days or a few weeks. No, he ministered there, and he knew Onesiphorus, and we have read about Onesiphorus, that he also, how much he rendered in Ephesus, how much service he rendered there. So he got saved, and he was there in the assembly in Ephesus, And he allowed the Lord to use him in his local assembly, where he was grown up, where he was saved, where he was put, as the Lord has put every one of us in one particular location. So the first question is, there where you are you looking around? Who are those I should love? We said brotherly love applies to brothers and sisters. So even if you're a sister, you're included. Are you looking around and says, now who is here? Are there only old people here? Or are there only two or three young ones? But I have no relation to these people. It says we ought to love our brothers and sisters. And so here we have Onesiphorus, who loved the Apostle Paul, perhaps because of the relationship he had with him. But anyway, he appreciated the word which the Apostle Paul was preaching in Ephesus. And also, we know a wonderful epistle was written to the assembly in Ephesus. But now, Paul was not here. Paul was in prison. And he knew about it. And we also read that we ought to visit those who are in bondage. So he said, how can I show him love? We can easily talk about love, but how do we practice? He says, look, I have to really make a trip. And he couldn't fly there. He had to take a boat, and it took quite a while to get there. And he got there, and there are two other characteristics. One is courage. He had courage. You see, many of them were ashamed of his chain. Many were saying, well, keep away from Paul. This is dangerous. If you show that you are a friend of him, you might end up in the same place as Paul already is. So keep away, keep away. But this man says, where is he? I want to visit him. He didn't care about the chain. He didn't care why Paul was in prison, that he suffered for his faith. He says, I see that brother. I love him. He didn't see the chain anymore. He saw the brother. He says, I've got to see him. I have to got to encourage him. I don't even know in what status he is. Is he hungry? Is he cold in that prison wall? You know, whatever. If you have not been there, you don't know how this brother is. He said, I've got to see him. And he had the courage to go, even to Rome and to this prison. And the third thing is, he had endurance. You see, we often have wonderful ideas, what we could do. We could do this and we could do that. And we might even do it once. And fifth, the second time. And then, it's a lot of work, you know. Somebody says, I want to be a Sunday school teacher. This is wonderful, you know, with children. And so, you know, it's so much fun with children. Yeah, you will find out very quickly that to be a Sunday school teacher is hard work. You have got to prepare. You have got to be there every Sunday. You have got to be ready. And the children are not always that nice, that they always like to listen. So you have maybe to also deal with very practical issues while doing this work for the Lord. I know many Sunday school teachers, they have done it for years. They have done it for years. And, you know, the children grew up and they still look back and they still talk about that Sunday school teacher. Could be a sister, could be a brother. What they were able to give these children, they don't forget. and they are thankful for it. But it needs endurance. And so we find here in this chapter that he had endurance in two ways. He sold me out. I was thinking, how did that happen? If you go to a place where there's an assembly, and in Rome you had an assembly. So he traveled all that way, and I'm sure that he first went to the brethren and says, can you tell me where the Apostle Paul is? I would imagine that that would be the first thing you do. But obviously, nobody knew. And of course, it was a big city. He might have had several prisons, so you had to start looking. You went to the first prison, asked for the Apostle Paul, and said, no, we don't have a Paul. And then you had to go on, find another prison, had to ask again. So he had endurance. He didn't just give up when the first time it didn't work out. Now he went on and he went on till he found him. And the second endurance is, once he has found him, it didn't just stay with one single visit. He refreshed me often. He came back again. He came back again. We don't read about what he brought the Apostle Paul. Perhaps he brought them a meal. Perhaps he brought them warm clothes or anything. He saw what he needed, and he brought that which the apostle needed at this time. We don't know what he talked to him about. Doesn't say here. But I'm sure he talked about the word. He has received so much from the Apostle Paul. He was full of Christ. And to have somebody coming to have fellowship with you, you will speak about Christ. Because he knew this would lift up the Apostle Paul. He could not change his environment. He could not change the chains. But he could lift him up and see above the walls of the prison and see Christ in the glory. And this is how we can encourage one another. This all includes in this love, this brotherly love for one another. So we find love, we find courage, we find endurance. When you think about this qualification, these are not special gifts which you need. You see, if you have the gift of an evangelist, that is a very special gift to preach the gospel. But here, this qualification, I think no one is sitting here who says, no, I have no love, I have no courage, I have no. You can't really exclude yourself. You can just see it doesn't need much to execute and to practice this brotherly love with one another. And you see, when you read here, Onesiphorus was one who was prepared to swim against the current. There was a current. There was a trend here. Because it says in verse 15, you know this, that all who are in Asia, have turned away from me. And then he also mentions two names. And you see, if you have trends, you have those who are leading and you have those following. It's only sometimes just a few who say, we're all going this direction. So obviously these two men here said, look, forget about Paul. Paul is in prison. Don't care about him anymore. We carry on now without him. And people were following. They all start thinking, well, we have to forget about Paul. He will never come back. So what's the use of even thinking about him? But you see, then all in Asia, they put him aside. And he didn't care what everybody else said. You know, are we listening to the general opinion of people in this world? Or do we look to the Lord and says, Lord, what do you have me to do? He got a clear answer, go and visit Paul. I want you to encourage Paul. I want you to refresh Paul. And therefore, he didn't listen and he wasn't influenced by all the, you know, these modern trends, which we also know very well. And he went. And then the second thing is, here and also in chapter 4, we read about the house of Onesiphorus. Obviously, he had a wife, he had a family. That is the next question. In what way is the family more important than a service like this? You know, these are difficult questions. But you know, the Lord has said in many ways that, you know, if you don't put me first, even before your wife, even before your children, and so forth, a whole list, you cannot be my servant. And therefore, I believe that Onesiphorus, he was well aware that if he leaves, he had, you know, his wife had to take care of the children. And it's not going to be just a few hours away. No, he will be traveling and he will be away for a certain time. But you know, if the Lord tells you to do a service like this and you have to be away from home, you can be assured that the Lord will look after your wife and your children. You can count on it. And therefore it says that the house of Onesiphorus, that the Lord might grant mercy to it. No, the Lord will look after it. Many do not exercise this practical love because they say family first. And then they look away from all the needs around us. No, I have to care for my family. And I'm not saying you should not care. We have a big family ourselves, and yeah, it's not always easy to know how to split the time between service and between assembly life and about family life. It is something, an exercise for each one of us. But let us not forget the Lord first. When he says go, then we should go, and we can rest assured. And isn't that wonderful that he went there and he truly refreshed this apostle Paul? And we know in Philemon, we find another one who refreshed in verse 7. Philemon 7. For we have great thankfulness and encouragement through thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So here Paul writes to Philemon and he says, look, I heard about you. What you're doing for the saints, this fills my heart with joy, because you are refreshing the bowels of the saints. They are refreshed by thee, brother. There are many young people. Are you a refreshment for your parents? Or are you a sorrow for your parents? In your behavior, in your obedience towards them, are you bringing joy to your parents? Are you refreshing them? Are you feeding them? Or even in the assembly? Or are you one where brethren have to really kneel down and cry to the Lord for help? It's wonderful to find brothers like this who refreshed others like here, Philemon. And so we find here Onesiphorus also refreshing him. But then also, we should not forget, and I would like to read this verse in 1 Corinthians 15, which is not written to some laboring brothers or some special brothers or those special sisters. No, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "So then, my beloved brethren, be firm, immovable, abounding always in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Beloved brothers, brethren, these are the ones to whom he addressed this letter. Brothers and sisters in the assembly in Corinth were now addressed, that they should be firm, they should be immovable, abounding always in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. And this we know about Onesiphorus as well. It says here, "The Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord in that day." In that day. Yeah, one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will see our life. What will he say? "Well done, thou faithful servant." Or will he say, "You know, look at that period of time. You had all these opportunities, but you never did anything. You had this an opportunity, that. I gave you all these occasions where you could practice and exercise your brotherly love, and you have not done anything." Or will he say, "Well done"? You know, he will come with his reward. And so I'm sure Onesiphorus will receive his reward for doing this. Is it wonderful that the Lord gives you everything you need to do a service for him, and at the end, when you have done it, he will reward you for it? Everything from the Lord. What a wonderful master we have to serve. And here we find, and you know, that reminds me just of that brother who complained in a meeting. He said to me, "You know, it's terrible here in that meeting. It's, nobody loves me. And all these brothers and sisters, they're like ice blocks, you know. They're so cold and, you know, you don't feel that love." You know what the brother answered? He said, "You know, if you would be a sun, then all these ice blocks would be melted." And so one lesson we should also think, we should not wait for the other to show love to me. Why not start yourself? Start with your next one, your brothers, your sister in your meeting. Show love, practice love, and you will see that the things will be returned to you, and normally more than you expect. God bless us.